Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
As I alluded to earlier, you know, maybe you're visiting and you think, you know, this is strange. I haven't really been to church where, you know, they get this personal or bring people up for prayer and praying with people. And I know that, you know, a lot of us like to live somewhat of a guarded life, you know, and we'd rather hear, "I'll pray for you this week." And you hope that they do, and you're kind of comfortable with that. It's a whole other deal when you come together at church and somebody comes up and says, "Hey, how's it going, man? I want to pray with you right now." You know, that's a whole nother deal. It's like, you invaded my space. You know, I know it's a pastor, and I know I can't say no, but I sure hope he hurries it up. And Lord, I want his prayer to count, but don't tell him too much about me. You know, I don't want him to pray that out loud, or, you know, we get, you know, or someone comes across and prays for us and we don't really know them, and they're sitting in another, you know, geographical area of the church. And maybe you've seen them from a distance and now, they want to pray, and, you know, couldn't they just go by and say hi and I'm going to pray for you this week? And we're getting comfortable with that. And, you know, many of us, our church background, you know, isn't quite as personal as maybe we get here. And I'm not saying that it's better than other places. That's not what I'm saying. I know that it's different and it's hard. I just spoke to a lady the other day. She's from the community, and my wife and I were talking with her, and she was here for a service that we did for a family who had a family member pass away, and they knew the family, and so they came, and we had the service according to the way the family wanted it, and proclaiming the gospel, and you know, the warmth that this body of believers extends to people. And her and her husband left and said, "Wow, that's kind of a different place. And that pastor, he's, you know, he wore blue jeans at a funeral service." And, well, it was kind of by the request of the family, you know. And so, wore blue jeans and you know, they just kind of, just so different than what their church history is. And maybe this morning is quite different than your church history. And I want you to know it's okay. My church history, where I grew up as a kid, I mean, this isn't how they did church services. And everybody has their own style and flavor, and I get that. But some of the principles are the same. You know, here's the thing. We want it to be meaningful and we want it to be personal when we get together. I know that we'd like to be a little bit anonymous, but it is good for us to be connected and to get past some of our boundaries. And I'm not saying we got to lay all our guard down with people. I believe that there's wisdom and balance and all of that and a progression of, you know, relationship that unfolds. But if we just stay stoic and distant, we just kind of come and do our religious thing and leave, I want you to know that there may be some value in that. The Lord's word is proclaimed. But when I look at Scripture and I look at the what the apostles wrote and I look at the early church, there was a connection, there was relationship, they were together, they prayed for one another. Listen, you know what? Life is hard. How many of you have found out? And life can be good, and it can be great, and the life that the Lord has provided. But when sin entered humanity, You know, the thorns, the briars, and not just the physical things of the earth, but the physical things that can happen, the relational things, the emotional things from this life. It can get hard. And you maybe this week or others, you know, around you are here this morning, and maybe this last week or month, it has been tough in your private world. And not everybody knows what's going on, and nor do they need to. But you come here on a Sunday morning, I don't want us to just play church. Amen. This is real life with real problems, with a real living God who sees and hears and can speak and has answers. Thank you, Father. Has a spirit who he has sent to be with us. So we got to be able to, at some point, overcome what we perceive as past protocols according to our church history and put that aside for the sake of it being meaningful and personal. I'm going to read a passage of scripture that the Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus. It's in Ephesians chapter 6. It's going to be a familiar passage. And as we read the passage, it is natural for you and I to focus on the armor of God that he talks about. But at the very end of that portion, there's a comma, and he proceeds to write something else that is not detached from the armor, but it is part of it, of how we live and act with this armor of God on us when this life can be so difficult. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. It says, finally, be strong in the Lord in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. You know, most of our life, because we're physical beings and we've got our senses, and each day, you know, we just operate on the physical level so very much, you know? What we see, what we touch, what we smell, these senses, what we have in life that God has given us, they're beautiful things. But we lock so much into that physical level, and the life that we live, so many physical different things and relational things and emotional things that we experience. He unveils here, that's not even half the battle. There's a whole greater truth behind even this physical, and he talks about the spiritual as if the physical living in this life isn't hard enough. Listen to this. There's a reason he tells us to put on the whole armor that we're able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against just flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. We sometimes are so distracted by the physical realities and challenges of our life that we forget a greater truth, that there's a whole other level of challenge we face and attacks that we face. Now here's the great news, so this doesn't sound like doom and gloom. God has all authority, and you belong to him through faith in Jesus Christ. And Jesus came and walked in our sandals, our shoes, and lived here in this life to deal with all the physical demands, but to overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil. And that those who believe in him by his great love have become more than conquerors. These are all things that Paul writes. Therefore, take the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by them for the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish the flaming darts and attacks of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So the armor's done. But it's a comma. And now he tells us how we live and what we should be doing while we are in this armor. And sometimes we just focus on the armor. We identify with the armor. We go through the components of the armor. He says this in verse 18. Following up to verse 17. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, verse 18, praying at all times in the Spirit. Now, by the way, those of you who have a problem with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, with the initial physical evidence of speaking in tongues or praying in the Spirit, then you're going to have a problem with this verse. You're going to stop at the end of wear the armor and grab the sword of the Spirit, and you're going to stop there because you're comfortable with that idea. But in this armor, he says, now that you have it on, praying all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all the perseverance, making supplication and prayers for all the saints. You see, we come together at church. What are we supposed to be doing while we're here? Well, we can come with a pretty long list, you know. We sing songs, we worship, we smile at people, and give our tithe to the Lord and offering, and we maybe commitment to missions, and we volunteer, and you go through your list. One of the things he's saying is that when you get together, you should be praying for one another. Amen. Watching out to see if each other are okay. Let me read it to you from this translation, from the Message, the Bible. It's called the Message translation. I want you to listen to how they put verse 18. In the same way, prayer is essential in this ongoing warfare, this battle of life. The physical things that drain us and preoccupy us and distract us from even a greater truth of the spiritual battles that we face in our life. It says, in the same way, prayer is essential in the ongoing warfare. Pray hard and long. In other words, persevere, endure. Pray hard and long. I mean, look at Jesus. I mean, this is the Son of God. He's with his disciples, and what is he doing? He's been a long day of ministry and demands of people and with his disciples. And then he goes off and prays all night in fellowships with his Father. He prayed hard and long. And this is the Son of God. Oh, how much more then do you and I need to pray and fellowship with the Father and intercede hard and long. This is not a little dabble, do you? You know? And I'm done. I'm out of here. It says this, pray for your brothers and sisters. See, that's why we offer prayer like this. It's why we are supposed to come here. It's not only hear the Word of God. It's not only sing praise. It's not only volunteer. It's that we are keeping an eye on each other, not with an eye of criticism, but with an eye of care, that we can pray for one another. I know that gets personal. It invades our space a little bit. We prefer the whole, I'll pray for you this week. Thank you. You know, for some, they just don't feel they can make the journey from where they sit down here to have somebody pray with them. I get it. It's a struggle. It's uncomfortable. But I'll tell you what, you do it once, twice, three times, and you know what? It's familiar. It's just like anything else. here, he finishes this verse. Keep your eyes open. Keep each other's spirits up so that no one falls behind or drops out. You see, this room is filled with people who live real life and have real battles all week. And then we come to church, and we might do our religious things, and we might do some good things, and we do some things out of faith, hopefully. But there's this whole level that when we come together, we should be praying for one another. We should keep our eyes open. We should stay alert, not putting our nose in other people's business, not so that you're the controller of information and you know what's going on in people's life and you feel like you know, you're really smart and you get to break the news to other people that you knew first about so-and-so. It's not so you can post stuff online and skip names, but through your description, they all know who you're talking about. It's not for that. This is about keeping a watchful eye out because you know how this goes. We encounter difficulty and trouble, and it wears us out. And it's not just a rough week. It's rolled into a rough month or a lifetime or things that are cyclical, and we just can't seem to get ahead, or this new thing comes around the corner without warning, and we get tired, and we pray. We feel like we pray hard and long, and we're just exhausted emotionally, mentally, spiritually, physically. We do our best. And we get to a point where we're so weak that bad theology sets in and says, well, God doesn't hear me, and God, where are you? And, you know, theology that says God was up there and you were a good God, you wouldn't allow this to happen, or this wouldn't come into my life, or that wouldn't happen over there. And see, we're starting to drop out. Frustration's got the best of us. It's that sin entered and created havoc on the physical realm and in the spiritual realm. But God has made a way. And part of the ministry that He has brought is an exchange of His Spirit, His Word, flowing through our lives to one another. That we could be an example of the living church who holds and stands firm. And the world gets to watch your unsaved friends or the friends in your life, the people in your life who haven't come to faith yet, get to watch you maneuver and walk through this life. And they know your situation is hard, but you're upholding the faith in Christ and shining a light that brings them hope and curiosity. You're hanging on to the Lord and you're getting encouragement. See, when we get together, people around you, they faced a battle all week. They've taken it on the chin, maybe. Or they don't know where to turn. They're tired. And they come to this place and they worship and they hear the scripture and it's good and it's helpful and they leave. And we're supposed to be together to pray for one another, watch for one another, that we don't drop out. That in our weakness and in the difficulty and being tired, that we don't drop out. That we're keeping an eye on one another and praying for one another and encouraging for one another, keeping their spirit up. See, this isn't about coming here and just receiving. It's about coming here with a caring eye to the people around you. What church is supposed to be like when we get together? The things we already do, including praying for one another, lifting each other's spirit up so they don't drop out, so they don't throw in the towel, so that in the end, no one's missing. Being watchful, who haven't I seen for a while? I should contact them and not say, where's your church attendance? No. It's not about church attendance. It's about caring. Because when you're not here, I will tell you this, when you're not here, it's not the same. It's not the same. When you're here, it's different. And you're another set of eyes. You're another voice of prayer. You're another set of hands to help and to show compassion. You see, that's church. It's not a service. It's the body of believers and followers in Christ coming together, watching out, keeping an eye out. Are you tired? Are you broken? Is your hand on the towel and you're about ready to throw it in and say, the fight's over, I give up? Are you watching for someone like that around you? Because we're supposed to pray for one another. Lift up their spirit and encourage. Listen to their story. Maybe share your own and pray for one another. You see, then our time together has been meaningful. Listen, I know some of you say, oh man, the reason I come to church, the music here, well, you just like it. It's good. You sense the Lord in it. Others of you say things like, I come because of the preaching here. Well, you need a therapist, or you need to hear other preachers, but you know, that's kind of you. Or there's certain things, or they got, it's something for my kids, so we come here. I get it. There's other good things around it. But I'll tell you what would be the greatest compliment of why people come to this place is that they can come here and they can be with real people who will go through real problems and hang on to a real God and care about real people around them and that they pray for them and they connect with them. That means the Spirit of God is living in the people. So what's church supposed to be when we get together? It's a long list. But the list will never be complete unless we pray for one another, have a watchful eye for one another, to lift their spirit up, praying for them. That's the living church on earth.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.